Mitch Lawrence is with us, host SiriusXM NBA, NBA columnist, Sporting News, and Forbes. Hello, Mr. Lawrence.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Oh, in the great north. Yeah. You called it, you know, you're probably right on the money. You suggested it's the worst 7 minutes in Raptors history, and you do realize that Andrea Bargnani was a number one overall draft pick, a man you're very familiar with. So that digs deep. That digs deep to our cores this morning.
If you look at just the last, DeRozan scores the last 419 of regulation. They go up 3-102-99, and then for about it's a little more than 7 minutes where they go 1 of 15 from the floor, and all of a sudden with 5 points to be down 113-107. So I mean, right there, it's just a ridiculously bad. I mean, that's even that, and that obviously encompasses the last few seconds of regulation where he had 4 shots at the basket, and DeRozan didn't gather himself and really, you know, go up with a decent shot when he had to. The Miles tips just kept the ball alive, and Valanciunas. I mean, it's just a total mess. It just the big picture thing is, if you're in a series with LeBron James, you need closers, or you need a closer who can get the job done late, and that's the difference between Toronto and Cleveland. That's the difference between Cleveland and a lot of teams in the East, is they still have LeBron. Now, they don't have LeBron and Kyrie. That's why they were head and shoulders above everybody for the last few years. But they still have a LeBron. And last night, even on an off night for LeBron, he got big contributions. But if I'm a Toronto fan, I'm just now very, you know, upset and worried because DeRozan and Lowry didn't step up and take, you know, they didn't meet the moment where it needed to be made. And that separates champions from guys who make the playoffs and have nice careers.
Mitch Lawrence, our guest, it felt like one they had to have. Do you look and go, that's a choke? Like to me, I can't, because I'll tell you why. Because they never led by more than 6 with 5.5 minutes to go. They never had a chance for that quote-unquote save situation. This wasn't Portland and the Lakers in 2000. This wasn't like you'd see a college team give away. Somebody did it this year. I think it was Wichita State, a 20-point lead with 9 minutes to go. I can't call it a choke, but they got the yips.
Well,
there's no doubt they got the yips late.
You know, you got to convert. I mean, you know, we all talk about you got to make stops in basketball. You have to score because the way the game is set up now, and you know, it's one of those things where it's whatever you want to call it. I kind of did refer to it last night when I was on the post game on Sirius as a choke job. I mean, even though you're only up when DeRozan makes a shot, you know, 3 points with 4 minutes to go, you got to find a way to close out that game at home. And, you know, here's the thing. There's so many psychological hurdles and barriers this team in Toronto is trying to overcome with LeBron James. They've never been up in a series against him before. And they have the advantage of going into game one where LeBron is coming off. You know, he's dragging this team on fumes to a 7th game against an okay Indiana team. That's not even what kind of an Indiana team did he have to beat to go 7 games? So it's sitting right there for Toronto. And, I mean, they just did not meet the moment. They didn't rise to the occasion. Whatever cliche you want to use, it's all very, very true. This is what happens in playoff basketball. You separate the men from the boys, right? The guys who can step up and make big shots and big plays for you and get you to the promised land. They don't have those players. That's the problem there. You can make all the changes you want in terms of style, and we got a better bench. It always comes back to who's going to make big plays for you down the stretch of these games.
They
don't have DeRozan and Lowry are very, don't get me wrong, they're really good regular season players. In the playoffs, they struggle to make the big plays that separate their team from everybody else.
Here's the difference, and while I'll agree with you, last night was a choke job. At least it was for me. They weren't asked to make that fadeaway jumper that LeBron had to make to tie the game last night. I said this morning, those 11 shots that they missed consecutively at the end of the fourth quarter, us three in studio here, if you put us in those same spots, we would not miss those 11 shots. Those were easy.
12, but,
they were easy baskets for them to make.
It shouldn't have come down to, I think it was 12 shots, shouldn't have come down to, well, LeBron can tie it up. They should have been able to keep adding to that if they could have. You know, it's just one of those collapse. It's a collapse. That's what it is. And you can't have that in a series where you're going against a guy who basically has had your number since day one. And I've said this for the last couple of years. This is just reminiscent to me of when LeBron's in Miami and he's playing the Indiana Pacers. It's the same problem. He can't. You have a team that has a very good team. Don't get me wrong. Toronto's a very good regular season team. And then they have a ceiling. and that ceiling is called LeBron James in the playoffs. And Indiana had really good teams. They might even be better than these Toronto teams when they had that little run that they had. But you know what? You need to have guys who can close games. That's what I keep telling you, right? You got to have those players, and there aren't that many of them around. But boy, I tell you, that's what's really lacking here for Toronto. And the big thing, obviously, is how you recover from this and move forward, because now that's all they're going to be talking about up your way for the next couple of days, is the collapse, the meltdown, whatever you want to call it. And that's going to be weighing on these players who already have enough mental baggage from previous epic failures against LeBron.
Can you change the conversation? Can anything happen in game two where you play a game like you did game one and you put it away and you go to Cleveland 1-1 feeling like that's no longer the case? Can game two change that at all?
No, the thing about games, you know, you can only tie the series. The big change will have to be winning in Cleveland, obviously. You've got to regain the home court. You've got to make some, however you win the games. You know, it's just not going to be good enough to get a split at home because you're still behind the eight ball. So this is going to take, this is going to take a mammoth effort, obviously, going into Cleveland and, you know, getting the better of LeBron James there. No matter how you do it, whether you win a game late or you blow them out, this is now, that's their task. It's very daunting, and I don't think they're up to it.
We had a minute. Have the Cavs found themselves playing Tristan Thompson two games in a row?
Well,
have they? I would say they don't have Clarkson, they don't have Hood, but Korver did what he had to do. J.R. Smith's a knucklehead. He's not going to shoot 5-for-6 3-point-wise every game, but they got a performance from him last. I'm really encouraged that they won't be up and down like they were against Indiana, Mitch.
You know, when I look at the Cavaliers, they're still not a very good defensive team, and yeah, they played some good defensive when they had to last night. The thing is, though, what's going to catch up with them is that they're just a limited team for LeBron. The Kyrie Irving absence is going to be monumental. It's going to catch up with him at some point, plus the fact that he played too many regular season games. And so they still have the wherewithal to beat a Toronto team. That's not their issue. Their issue is what happens when they step up against a better team in Toronto. Could that team be Boston or Philly? Perhaps. Will that team be Golden State? Did you watch Steph Curry last night? Yeah, I mean, that's the big problem. They can solve Toronto no problem, I don't think. For them and LeBron, it's all about winning titles, and that's where they're going to come up short because he doesn't have the requisite second scorer who, when he needs to take a break, that guy can do miracle, you know, can make miracle shots at the end of shot clocks. He doesn't have Kyrie anymore, and I've been saying that from day one. That was going to be the difference for him.